Hi, it's Craig Wilson here, and welcome to another episode of the Making the Media podcast. Thanks a lot for joining and spending the next 30 minutes or so with us. Our guest this week is Antonio Tena. Antonio is a 40-year industry veteran specialising in graphics workflows based in Spain. His career spans the days when graphics were created with a paper and brushes through to the most modern advances in technology around augmented reality and virtual reality, such a staple now for many news and sports productions. So what have these changes meant for the ways in which stories get told on TV? How have they altered the way in which graphic designers and the newsroom work collaboratively together? What advantages have templated graphics, the ones used most often in productions, which are created once and then reused by journalists, what have they brought in freeing up the design team for more creative work? Now, we have another first for the podcast with this episode, which was conducted in Spanish. So while I ask my questions in English, Antonio's answers are in Spanish, with his words translated in English by my colleague Raúl Alba, who played a huge part in the creation of this episode. So I began by asking Antonio to reflect on not just the technological changes he has witnessed, but their impact on storytelling.
Well, so it's basically immediacy. Pretty much the same way everything has changed through the TV business. From linear to non-linear editing, in the newsroom rundown where you can move anything very quickly, the same way real-time graphics and speed of creation have allowed making the graphics very quickly, very different and very well adapted to present it. Real-time technologies enable us making templates to have graphics ready for any kind of news that can be planned. For unforeseen news, you obviously need to have a different approach. But for these recurrent graphics of stock market, inflation, unemployment rate, that is, everything that is foreseeable, is dealt with template graphics. They can be quite complex, with different combinations to adapt to different use cases in real time. That was a really big leap ahead in the early 2000s. Back in the 90s, there was one custom graphic commissioned per news show. And that was it. There was no more capacity, because everything was done with a quantum paint box, and it has to be done layer by layer, and it was very artisanal and time-consuming process. So one graphic per news show, that was it. However, now it's completely different. The more impressive example is the weather forecast. The graphic department does not invest any time on creating custom graphics for the weather forecast. Yet, every day, they are generating over 40 minutes live show based only on weather graphics. Everything is generated by template graphics, maps, graphics, etc. Everything is generated automatically with real-time fed with data. This has been a great evolution. Through the use of templates, you can cover a lot. Graphics are important for a new show because for the viewer, it's always much better, I think, seeing ideas visually than relying exclusively on verbal communication by the presenters. Even in the past, when technology only allowed for simple 2D lower thirds, these were always used to reinforce the message. And now, with new technologies like Unreal Engine, it's amazing the things you can do. Graphics are really impactful, and they can be exposed in a very simple way for journalists to use them by simple drag and drop. In the past, a production with the quality we can do today could take months, because the render process was very long, and now it's done in real time. That's a great leap that is opening the door for better quality without compromising speed. Unreal Engine, this engine by Epic Games, is being very disruptive. Right now, the limit is your imagination. Whatever you imagine, you know that in 5 hours, you can be ready to be on air. Of course, if instead of 5 hours you have 10, it's twice as good. And if you have 15 hours, you can deliver even better quality. But lots of graphics can be generated for lots of new events very quickly. Graphic technologies and workflows have changed a lot during my career.
Una barbaridad.
Speed and efficiency are really obviously central to what you're talking about there. But explain a little bit about how it's changed the creative process. Is it freeing up time for who comes up with the idea, how it's then developed? Because you know the template graphics are taking time away from other things, but you free up time for the creative part of the process.
In our case, it is teamwork, just like in a movie production. Everybody contributes. Sometimes the process is based on a request from the editorial team, and the graphics team just answers to this request. And in these cases, we are very, very limited by time. We also have some very nice cases, like one we are working on in Telemadrid right now, where we have a kind of a committee, where the graphics department shares what they're good at, or what can be visually very spectacular. Then the editorial team say what they would like to do with it, or the idea that they're interested in highlighting. And from there, we distill what could be useful and what can be done, tweaked or adjusted. For example, sometimes we think a graphic has to last longer on air because it can be very spectacular, or because it helps telling the story that we are trying to tell. We need to remember that in news, graphics need to serve a purpose. They need to tell a story, to help telling the story. It is kind of a very short film. So you can easily tell a story in 5 seconds, the same way that you should not spend a minute trying to illustrate something that is not telling anything relevant. So there are times we want to be very spectacular and get the audience attention. So we tell the journalist to stretch the voiceover to allow telling the story better, or maybe we suggest them, hey, if we display some data on the screen, will it help telling the story? In Telemadrid it's working very well because it is very well balanced. The graphic department says, what is needed? And we have a discussion instead of getting a cold request and just delivering blindly what is requested. And I know not every news production team has managed to achieve this balance. Like everything, like the news or like the news stories, it depends a lot on who is the journalist, who is the graphic artist, or who is the news director. If you put together a good team, you get good results. Sometimes the editorial team just provides the graphics department with a script and duration, so they treat graphics as they would treat a full standalone package. We need to remember that in a news show, anything could change. The chief editor thinks a story and tells a journalist, hey, you have a minute. But later, maybe the show is running over and what was planned for a minute will have only 5 seconds. And in this case, it's always frustrating for everybody. The graphic team makes a titanic effort to make a complex and elaborated graphic with lots of information and effects, and then in the package, the journalist is so used to see it, only a few seconds are shown.
Una fiesta constante.
So, Antonio, have journalists' expectations changed with newer technology? You know, do they expect more stuff or, things to develop faster?
Sí, las dos cosas. Hay veces que...
Yes, absolutely. Actually, both. In public broadcasters in Europe, every time the government changes, there might be a change in the organization. It's not like in a private broadcaster, where there is a news director who stays in place for a long time and they learn and evolve with time. With these frequent changes, sometimes a new news director arrives and they do not trust the graphic department, and we need to build their trust all over again. They ask for one thing, when we deliver, they gradually trust more, and the next time they feel like Spielberg. So they want to order something at 10 a.m. and have it delivered by 2 p.m. For example, they want to see the Tower of Pisa in 3D, see how it's tilting with animation, data, and you have to manage the expectations, and little by little we kind of learn to adjust and calibrate the effort that sometimes that something requires. And the editorial team learns to foresee stuff that could be made. What if there is war? Can we prepare anything in advance? If we are better prepared, we can deliver better on breaking news. Once you get the point where all parts understand this, we become very efficient and very powerful. The editorial team asks for more and more, and the graphics team also feels more confident to contribute and suggest. Sometimes the editorial team has a very clear idea of the story they want to tell, and they have a suggestion on how to tell it, and the graphics team has to bring them back to the ground because of the effort required or because it doesn't make sense visually. Here, the work of the chief editor is essential. If the editorial team manages to use template graphics that do not require a designer to invest time on them every day, there's a lot of time that is made available for creative teams to do something special, something particularly spectacular or a special event. For this, planning is also very important. If you want to create a package about unemployment going up X percent, there's a limited amount of ways you can tell this story. Numbers, arrows, icons, images. If creatives can create a template with all these options, this becomes a self-serve graphic that journalists can use themselves. Sometimes we have some headroom to do something special, like augmented reality on a table, to illustrate the same recurrent story. But if we are working on a big project, there is no time to be creative on these regular day-to-day graphics, so we just go with the normal template graphics. We are always busy. We are just trying to be efficient. For example, now we are working on elections coverage, and all the creative team is busy with that. So for a few weeks, there will be no special graphics in the news show, only templated graphics. Because election coverage are complex. You have to model many things. You have to anticipate many things. So during these times, there are less special graphics, and it's sometimes hard to handle because journalists see their stories, the story they're working on, as the most important. They see it as the resume, and they like their stories to be the nicest. They do not settle with a simple way to tell the story. They want always something special.
Hacer algo muy especial y cada uno lleva su luchita.
Obviously, the World Cup happened recently in Qatar, and for that, there were, you know, a very big montage was built with the stadium. Are you able to talk through the creative process of how that was actually done?
Este caso es particular, pero...
In this case, when we saw the World Cup coming, we started preparing graphics, even before the sports team would ask for anything, because unlikely, in news, there's rarely the time to stop and think about special events coverage. Journalists, editors, they're all busy with the day-to-day task. So that's where the creative team started thinking and bringing up ideas, trying to find something that could be interesting or a nice way to tell a story and proposing them to the editorial team. In this case, the World Cup deserves something special, different. We proposed creating a stadium without even knowing yet how it will be used exactly. And afterwards, we consulted with the editorial team and they provided feedback. Initially, there was some pushback on using augmented reality for this. Always with augmented reality and virtual reality, which is what consumes most of the effort of the creative team, everybody is a bit reluctant. They kind of think it will be ridiculous. Many people think that having a presenter standing in front of a green screen or with augmented reality objects around will make them look like fools. So convincing the talent is often complicated. They need to feel support from everyone and need to feel very comfortable. So in this case, we started modeling the stadium where the Spanish national team was going to play their games. Albeit. But then, when they saw the stadium halfway done, they started asking for more stadiums. As we discussed before, we cannot afford modeling everything because it's very time consuming. So we settled on 3 stadiums, and 3 weeks in advance, we started modeling. When the first stadium was assembled, the editorial team started to think how it could be used. The first thing was as an opener for the show to kind of wow the audience. It was considered a good way to catch people's attentions. And that's what you need in these cases. These things need to be used wisely. If you use these visually attractive gimmicks all the time, it might be tiring for the audience. These things are also very valuable as a way to promote in social media, as you saw on LinkedIn, to create expectations in the audience and give them a reason to attend the show. And from that point, we started looking for content. What would be an interesting information to display in augmented reality? Game results, relevant stats. The editorial team started providing with editorial data to be used in graphics. And the creative teams did the adjustment for this data to look nice. In this case, objects on the grass, on the stadium cover and inside. And like that, little by little, the script was taking shape. That process was a good example of very good collaboration. And it worked because the creative team started ahead to prepare for the potential needs. Because if we would have waited until the editorial team made up their mind, let's say a week before the World Cup starts, we'll have not have any time to do anything relevant. So this anticipation and the buyout from the editorial team worked well. As they saw how models and animation was working, we realized that more time was required to tell the story visually. If you want to impress your audience with a 3D flight that lasts a minute, you need more time to tell the rest of the story. When the talent saw themselves into the stadium, they felt encouraged. And they were all out with this creativity. We want to be inside the stadium, we want this or that, and step by step we created something much bigger than initially expected. Even if there is a risk that is always there, and I always say we need to assume that risk, when you prepare for a big event, like a World Cup or election, you spend a lot of time working on stuff and you assume that some of the things you're preparing will not be used for an air. Because for whatever reason, there might be no time for this, or because due to the flow of the show, it might not be convenient. But regardless of anything, you have to do it right. In this case, went very well and the content was super. And in this case, the editorial team started liking this more and more, and they went all in. There were many augmented reality beats used during the event, not only the games of the Spanish national team, but in general during the World Cup. And in the end, this was one of these times where the process that might seem chaotic ended up working well because of collaboration from all the parts.
Pero ese es un ejemplo muy, muy, muy colaborativo.
How do you think audience expectations have also changed? Because I often think now that people look at the gaming industry and compare graphics there. So how have the audience expectations for what they expect now from graphics?
Eso es imposible saberlo cuando hemos...
I don't know. The truth is that it is impossible to know for sure. Not long ago, we started using a lot of augmented reality and virtual reality. And the audience of our new shows went up a lot. How much was due to using virtually appealing graphics, and how much was because the editorial approach changed and the information provided was more engaging for the audience? I don't know. In a way, the influence of graphic gimmicks in news shows is like in the movies. That is, the compendium of a good music, good script, good lighting, everything makes a news show to be good. If augmented reality or virtual reality or just 3D are very well integrated and do not stand out, even being good, you can call that a success. So if you see some financial information in augmented reality or the talent is in a virtual environment talking about something and viewers do not realize that all this is virtual, that's the ideal situation, neither too much nor too little. I think the viewers, they are adapting, and they see this as a natural part of the show. Regarding the world of video games, I'm not sure they are really affecting expectations from the audience. People who play video games do not watch news shows on TV. Our target is more mature and older people. In the case of Telemadrid, our main target are retired people. And these people do not play, or probably never play video games. Even someone like me, who works in 3D design, I watch video games and I don't understand most of it. You have to be very, very used to it to know where you have to look at to find the information you need to see. In our case, when we use effects or gimmicks inspired in video games like wipes, which I love, we try to be very subtle and discreet, because the goal is that it attracts you without making the information hard to read. After all, it is like in elections coverage. You can add shine, add effects, add a lot of glitter, but in the end, you need to see a number and a logo, and that's it. You always need to find a balance between making something memorable and not overshadowing the information you want to convey. There are commercials on TV that are so bright, so bright, so bright, that you're not able to retain who is the advertiser, because you are so focused on the visuals, the 3D effects, the actors, and everything, that the message does not reach you. There are very nice commercials that struggle to get the message through, and some commercials that are so badly executed that the message stands out exactly because of how bad they are. So this balance is very complicated. The world of video games is influencing these of us that work in graphic content creation, probably more than some of us would like to believe, because we see examples of how things are done, the tools and the processes, and it's always an inspiration to use in the broadcast world. But as much as to have a significant impact in the audience, I don't know. Not long ago, there was a significant increase in audience, and it was a time where a lot of sophisticated graphics were used on air. Every day, we did 4 special augmented reality pieces, and once a week, there was a very big virtual studio show, where the presenters were so much into it, into their role, that we used to say that if the script requires throwing a bucket of water at a presenter, the next presenter is going to say, "So, when are you going to throw a bucket of water to me?" One of the presenters, she started experimenting with interacting with the virtual world, and it was great. If you don't interact, it becomes artificial and hard to believe. If the presenter says static, and what the presenter says or does and what happens in the virtual world, two disconnected things, this does not look good. From that point, all other presenters started to follow, and in that period, we did the nicest things I have done on TV. And with a good innovation pace, we got the presenters in the Prado Museum with masterpieces, we got them in the Retiro Park to talk about climate change, we flooded Plaza Mayor. We did very, very interesting and impactful things. And this probably helped increasing audiences a bit, because the impact is not the same. If you just talk about sea level rising 2 centimeters every 100 years, than if you're showing an iconic location like the Plaza Mayor flooded.
I think it's clear from what you're saying, Antonio, that teamwork is so important to this. You know, I think in the past, the journalists would go give an idea to the graphics person would go away, work on their own, try to realize it. Whereas now it's much more a collaborative process. Is that fair to say about how graphics is now done?
Yes.
As we were discussing before, these advanced graphics were treated as a particular case of on-screen graphics. There were requests, like a board and some data over it, and that's it. For everyday graphics that are templated, there's always some feedback, like I would like this color, or I would like to highlight this or that part. These template graphics are shown 12 or 14 times a day each, which requires that we spend some time on them to look good, but upfront, when the templates are created. Where you can see a really collaborative workflow is on the graphics for special events or for relevant breaking news. What happens often is the editorial team comes up with an idea, but I do not really know what will be a good way to show this visually. That's why the ideal team is composed by a graphic designer that knows how to tell a story and a journalist who knows how to express concepts visually. For example, getting a request from a graphic to explain the theory of relativity without context is a very hard task. Designer needs to have some information of what wants to be communicated. Sometimes designers see some news and they tell the editorial team, hey, look, I have this idea about how to illustrate this news event visually. What you can say is, hey, do you want something to illustrate this subject? Because if they have not made a request, they probably don't have a clear idea of what could be used to illustrate this. What normally works is when the designer proposes an idea and sells it to the editorial team and helps the editorial team visualizing this idea. For example, a graphic to illustrate a triple jump record, let's say 18 meters. Just 18 meters is very hard to visualize. If instead of just showing a number, we show several buses next to each other and we say that the record man can jump all that, then that changes everything. It makes it easy to visualize and easy to retain the idea. That's something that helps telling the story. In our case, we came up with a role that really helps preventing friction between the editorial team and the graphics team. It's a kind of intermediary, a referee that mediates when there is a conflict and is trusted by both sides. So if a voiceover needs to be longer to enable the graphics to look better, or if the graphic animation needs to be shorter to accommodate the text, that person will arbitrate and will help build in trust and break barriers between departments. If we achieve this level of trust, it is much better than having everyone minding their own business. Results are much better, so that person who has the trust for both sides is vital. That person knows how a story is told and how things work in a RG or control room, also knows how a newsroom is organized and is working side by side with journalists, and also understands the process of creating graphics, both the technical process and the time and cost involved. And without being a real expert on any of these fields, they can coordinate the whole process and increase collaboration and efficiency.
And Antonio, you spoke at the start of starting with paint and brush, and we've ended in a world of computerized graphics, augmented reality, virtual reality, an enormous amount of change through that time. What do you think the future holds for graphics?
Regardless of the tool used, it is always about telling a story, about making it easier to deliver an idea. So I think that the most important thing that is going to change in the future is television itself. The tools are going to change as usual, but what is going to motivate innovation are the changes in the TV business. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but I think people will stop watching television altogether in the near future, because except live events like sports, elections, or breaking news, everybody is going to look for news and updates somewhere else, like on the web. So the idea of a family watching TV together at a given time does not exist anymore. Everybody has access to on-demand services, and even people my generation is using them. So you can choose which content you want to access and when. Any kind of content. So only live events justify watching TV. What is going to change is the channel. So probably the future of news is in your computer or mobile device. And the graphic tools to help telling the story will have to adapt to this new environment, or rather new environments. The future of news or another traditional TV shows is on a computer screen or a mobile device, or maybe with AR glasses. So the creative process will have to adapt to this new playing field. The creative tools might be better, worse, or just different. But in the end, the need is telling a story. If technology enables projecting 3D graphics on your living room's wall, there will be tools to enable creative to do that. But the important thing is the idea, how to use this new capability to tell the story you want to tell. Right now, our audience is very elderly. My son is 30, and he does not watch TV. In fact, not many people under 40 does. They access information on demand on their platform of choice, on a laptop, on mobile. If they ever use a TV set, it's just to use it as a computer screen. So the industry will have to adapt. Maybe creating augmented reality to display on virtual glasses, well, we'll have to learn that. Maybe we'll create some contents in a metaverse, live or on demand. There will always be a need to create graphic content if you want somebody will see them in the AR lenses at home. So what's going to change above all, I think, is the way news and other content are consumed. Things will change, but this is completely secondary. If we are lucky, they will become more powerful and easier to use. But if you know how to tell a story, you can do it with any tool, even with pen and paper. AR and VR will enable doing more things. That is clear. Maybe we would like to put the viewer in the middle of a battlefield in Ukraine to shock them, but this is only something that will work if the delivery method is not the evening news show in the form of a flat image on TV. It became nearly impossible for people to hear for the first time about news, any news, in the evening newscast. So what will change will be the delivery mechanism for news and graphics. Graphics will have to adapt to this new environment. If Unreal Engine, that is developed for the gaming industry, enables creating content for VR lenses, we will create content for that. So what will drive change is where news are delivered and what we can do to make them appealing. That will be essential.
Eso va a ser imprescindible.
Antonio, I think that's really, really interesting. I think it gets to the heart of what storytelling is about. It is about the story. And I think now it is much more about being where the audience wants to be, as opposed to things like appointment to view television. So it's been great to talk to you, to get your insights. It's been really, really fascinating. There is one final question I ask everyone on the podcast. So I will ask you, what is it, if anything, that keeps you up at night?
Yo soy una persona muy rara.
Well, I'm a very weird person. I'm 63 years old, and retirement is around the corner. Recently, I was in a trade show, talking to people much younger than me, discussing about the future of real-time graphics. And people were asking me, with retirement around the corner, how come I'm worried about what will happen in the next 10 years? So what prevents me from sleeping at night? Everything and nothing. I mean, yeah, work worries do not prevent me from sleeping. Perfectly. But it could happen that I'm thinking about how to address a design or a particular challenge or how to tell a particular story. And yes, thinking about this could make me stay up at night because I really want to know how I'm going to solve that problem. So everything and nothing keeps me out at night. Actually, there's one thing. The wish that I had more time to learn new things, even if I'm not going to have the opportunity to use them.
Y no pensaré más.
Great sentiments by Antonio there to wrap things up. Thanks so much to him for sharing his wide experience with us. Check out the show notes for links to a recent episode with Nora Zimmet from The Weather Channel, where she discusses the role which immersive mixed reality graphics plays in their storytelling techniques, plus a recent webinar about how Avid is reshaping newsroom collaboration. Please share, like, and subscribe to the podcast to get notified when new episodes are out. You can also get in touch with me on social. I am Craig, AW1969, on both Twitter and Instagram. Or email us. We are makingthemedia@avid.com. Thanks to our producer, Matt Diggs, and to Antonio, and also to Raul for helping so much in putting this episode together. That's all for now on the podcast. Thank you all for taking the time to listen. Join me, Craig Wilson, next time for more in-depth discussion about making the media.